I'm Dream Queen. You're in the cab with me. Thanks for rolling. We're in the book club with Khalil Gibran's The Prophet. I believe this is chapter 9. They're not numbered. It's a list of poems here. Thank you all for joining, for being here. Please go over to the link tree in the cab radio. You'll find resources for this book club where you can download or just view the actual book for free. You can find khalilgibran.com at an easy click. Learn more about the author, his life, and influence on culture. I'm going to just bring it up for the people who are just joining. Thanks for finding us. Okay, you can get archives of this also at that link tree. Just a one click, you can find it on Mixcloud. Just real easy to listen to old shows with the music and everything. And you can go to YouTube, really easy, and find podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts now. I went ahead, did that legwork. So please, you can find this show just about anywhere and just enjoy it. You know, open your mind and your heart. So, Al-Mustafa is the chosen one. And he's been living among the people of Orphalese for 12 years. Past 12 years of his life. And his ship is coming that he's going to board to go back home to his homeland. And in his journey, in his meditation and reflection, he's wandered the street day, night, on his own, just taking in the culture and the people and becoming wise, being a hermit. And when the people see that it's time for him to leave, they want to know his wisdoms. And they ask him to stay, but he says, I can't stay. And Almitra says, I understand. She's a seeress. She comes out of the temple. She's the first one that Al-Mustafa met when he first came to this land. And they have a 12-year-old friendship. And she says, we can't keep you from continuing your journey. But while we wait for your ship, will you impart some of your observations and wisdoms? What you've learned about us, what you've learned about all things between birth and death. And he says, okay. But everything I'm going to tell you already exists within your heart. But people love to talk, so we'll chat. Then a mason came forth and said, speak to us of houses. And he answered and said, build of your imaginings a bower in the wilderness, ere you build a house within the city walls. For even as you have homecomings in your twilight, so has the wanderer in you, the ever distant and alone. Your house is your larger body. It grows in the sun and sleeps in the stillness of the night, and it is not dreamless. Does not your house dream? In dreaming, leave the city for grove or hilltop. Would that I could gather your houses into my hand and, like a sower, scatter them in the forest and meadow. Would the valleys were your streets and the green paths your alleys, that you might seek one another through vineyards and come with the fragrance of the earth in your garments. But these things are not yet to be. In their fear, your forefathers gathered you too near together, and that fear shall endure a little longer. A little longer shall your city walls separate your hearths from your fields. And tell me, people of Orphalese, what have you in these houses? And what is it you guard with fastened doors? Have you peace, the quiet urge that reveals your power? Have you remembrances? The glimmering arches that span the summits of the mind. Have you beauty that leads the heart from things fashioned of wood and stone to the holy mountain? Tell me, have you these in your houses? Or have you only comfort and the lust for comfort, that stealthy thing that enters the house a guest and then becomes a host and then a master? Aye, and it becomes a tamer, and with hook and scourge makes puppets of your larger desires. Though its hands are silken, its heart is of iron. It lulls you to sleep only to stand by your bed and jeer at the dignity of the flesh. It makes mock of your sound senses and lays them in thistledown like fragile vessels. Verily, the lust for comfort murders the passion of the soul and then walks grinning in the funeral. But you, children of space, you restless in rest, you shall not be trapped nor tamed. Your house shall be not an anchor, but a mast. It shall not be a glistening film that covers a wound, but an eyelid that guards the eye. You shall not fold your wings that you may pass through doors, nor bend your heads that they strike not against a ceiling, nor fear to breathe lest walls should crack and fall down. You shall not dwell in tombs made by the dead for the living. And though of magnificence and splendor, your house shall not hold your secret nor shelter your longing. For that which is boundless in you abides in the mansion of the sky, whose door is the morning mist, and whose windows are the songs and the silences of the night. Khalil Gibran on houses. That's from The Prophet, 101 years ago, first published 1923 by Alfred A. Knopf Books. So, what'd y'all think of this? I think it came in a couple of different levels here. Build of your imaginings a bower in the wilderness ere you build a house within the city walls. Al-Mustafa said that to the mason who came forth and asked about houses. For even as you have homecomings in your twilight, so has the wanderer in you, the ever distant and alone. Your house is your larger body. So, I see a lot of people these days, we can just take it on that one level, who are building houses like tree houses and these formats that invite in nature. We're here in Santa Fe area where we have a lot of earth ships. We have many people with greenhouses that we rely on. And I find this line, these lines speak to as we get more technological, the yearning that we have for nature. In this whole first half of the poem, I think Gibran really speaks to that. There's the modern self that evolved very quickly into the comforts of our technological world. And I don't think it's outpaced our natural selves, our organic selves. We can't escape it. Maybe that's why they want to put microchips in each other, you know. I want to slow that down for myself a little bit. I think those of you listening within the Madrid area, we're all living out here because we feel that. We're close together, but we're also a little bit apart. And we have a lot of nature around us. And that the ever distant and alone wanderer that Gibran often alludes to. I mean, the whole book is about a seeker. And I've talked and wandered on this show a little bit about the nature of the soul and coming into and out of Earth to be with each other and to also be singular. And we should compensate for that. I think that's a good idea. No one can be around each other all the time. Gibran talked on marriage a few weeks ago, you know, and it really, he spoke on the importance of spending time alone. I think we all can agree on that here. Your house being your larger body, it's really true. So it's hard to talk about things sometimes on the fly with you and keep it real and keep it relevant and not sound like spiritual bypassing. So here comes an incoming transmission message, houselessness. So I've never been houseless. I had a very close week one time. I was living in the Bay Area. Like, I was in between. There's been a couple times in my life where I've been transitioning and been in between. And I am blessed with luck. Jupiter rules my chart, my buddy, take me right to the edge and snatch me back. And I appreciate that when things came through for me at the last minute. I've never had to live in my car. I've never had to sleep in my car. There's a whole lot about this, and I told y'all last week, I'm pretty privileged. I don't come from wealth, but I have blessings. So please give me some latitude when I speak on this. And if you've been in between or down and out or houseless, and you want to correct me or speak on anything, please, like I said, go to the link tree, get everybody got a phone. I mean, whatever, you know, get over somebody else's phone and shoot me a message, in the cab, radio, Instagram, or Gmail, or Facebook. You want to DM me, whatever. Let me know how you got through that in relation to where I'm going right now. Maybe even if you want to come on the show, we could backtrack and talk about this, do a special on it, okay? This is why houselessness is violence, okay? Because we need a sanctuary. We need a warm place to sleep, a place to prepare our food, We need a place to bathe, have private thoughts, to put down our guard. Shelter. A shelter. A real shelter. Not something that they call a shelter that's more like, you know, a 12-hour jail. There's a lot of reasons why people don't want to go to places that cities are calling shelters. So a lot of people are on the street. And we know what's going on in the country right now. We're in between a regime change. Nobody knows what's going to happen. There's a lot of things happening. This stuff's popping like popcorn. And not even in the bag, in the microwave type popcorn. Like the kind that comes out of that thing that shoots it and it could shoot everywhere. If you put too much in there or it gets out of control, these popcorns are popping, boy. We don't know what's going to happen come January 15th. But either way, you know, it was already not good for our houseless community. So it becomes a mental health issue, becomes a spiritual issue, it becomes a hygiene issue. All of these things are issues. 101 years ago, I don't really know what was going on with houselessness. I think Gibran speaking directly to people of privilege, everybody who came down to hear him speak by the water, they were working in fields, working at vineyards, working as weavers and, you know, people doing things. This guy is a mason and, you know, probably owns the business. He's probably the boss because he's called a mason and not a laborer, you know. So who are we talking to in this poem? And I want to keep that in mind. So I see people out with their mobile homes, not the big ones. I'm talking about people like in who are in their vans and cars and things. I knew people in the Bay Area have real like jobs living in temporary situations like this. How do you make that a sanctuary for yourself? When you can hear traffic out your door and worry that the cops are going to move you along. I want to know. Last week, the show was on grief, joy, and sorrow. It was on joy and sorrow. And this is one of the things that I didn't say, but a lot of famous people, not a whole lot, but one of the stories that stick out to me are the folks who came all the way to that point and somehow they were able to still show up for their passion. We know about Corey Bush. She's the first congressperson to have ever experienced houselessness. You know, she was not reelected this go around. She's still working for the people, though. Glad she got the experience in the government. I'm glad we could see that somebody who is Black, woman with children, who's been through some of the worst situations in our country due to poverty and other situations, can rise through government. We still need to get the money out of government so that people like that can stay in government and not have to camp out outside of Capitol Hill for homeless people's rights. But I digress. Back to those of us with brick and mortar houses. it's important that we, all of us, no matter if you do or not, you create yourself a space. Let's see. I'm going to move into the illusion of comfort. Y'all ever heard anybody say security is a myth? And it took me a long time to understand that. You have to live a little and observe a little to really get it. It has to do with, we have no control. We have no control. Security is an illusion of control. Okay? That means this idea that if I do this, this will happen, and there you go, right? If I don't do this, certain things won't happen, and there you go. I'm in complete control of my life if I have right action, and if I don't do anything to get in trouble or disrespect the law or God, then I'm good to go. That's a myth and a lie told by colonizer versions of religion. There, I said it. Because we talk about religion on the show. Injustice is a big part of the world we live in. Things aren't fair. Things don't always work out like you planned. Innocent people get jacked up. Fires happen. Healthcare situations happen. The idea that if you do things right, you're going to be safe, playing it safe like that. No. In regards to what do we have in our houses? The line goes, or have you only comfort and the lust for comfort? That stealthy thing that enters the house a guest and then becomes a host and then a master. It becomes a tamer and with hook and scourge makes puppets of your larger desires. Though its hands are silken, his heart is of iron. I got a line up here highlighted from Dylan's Shelter from the Storm. I offered up my innocence. I got repaid with scorn. Come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm. What do we sacrifice for the illusion of control? I don't have to tell many of you. We pay a price for warmth and security that could be taken away at any moment, no matter how much money you have in the bank. It could go at any time. Now, that's okay. Like, many of us accept that. You know, we don't know what will happen. That's why we live life to the fullest, right? That's people with the idea that all I need is within, my peace, my remembrances. I can see beauty in everything around me, and I appreciate that I have this really nice shelter and these extra things, but they don't define me. I can easily release, right? And then there are people who must hold on no matter what and make themselves miserable for it. Some people call that having more than you can afford, being driven by the idea that the more that I have, the more secure I can be. And that's an unfortunate position that, you know, it's like a manifestation of greed, you know, from a place of pain and lack. And we become obsessed with just acquiring more. I want more money so that I can be more comfortable. this latest thing that will make it so that I can use even less of my body or mind and just escape. And then where is your passion? Do you have time for passion when all of the energy is used to consume the colonist nightmare, consumerism, to work and work, to have nicer things or more things? Now, this economy, shoot, everybody's just working to keep the lights on, right? That's why I keep bringing that doggone colonizer into the conversation. Because I think people know. I want to value my life. I want to spend time with my family. I want to go outside and be, no, you got to work three jobs. You got to work three jobs, the price of food, the price of heating, and, you know, and now you have to cool things because of climate change, because of capitalism, because it all traces back to the same source. And what do they benefit from this? What do you say? In their fear, your forefathers gathered you too near together, and that fear shall endure a little longer. A lot of people are scared to go outside. A lot of people are like separated from nature, separated from their community because of stuff they saw on the news. That's the number one mind tool. I beckon us to come back to communion and nature, because it is a separation from those two things that forces individualism and anxiety. We can't forget anxiety. Fear of the natural world causes a lot of illness. It really does. So, your house shall be not an anchor, but a mast. It shall not be a glistening film that covers a wound. Don't go in there and hide out from the world, but an eyelid that guards the eye. Sanctuary. Respite. A lot of people are building walls in these communities, gated communities. You shall not dwell in tombs made by the dead for the living. Dylan's line goes, an old man with broken teeth, stranded without love. Do I understand your question, man? Is it hopeless and forlorn? I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. We cannot be like them. The heart is the true home. This meat suit houses our souls. And our souls are the way we connect to each other. And connecting to each other is how we're going to stop killing each other. However you can make a sanctuary for yourself, I hope you can do that. There's one more thing I wanted to touch on. The animism that poets use. It grows in the sun and sleeps in the stillness of the night. And it is not dreamless. Does not your house dream? And dreaming, leave the city for grove or hilltop. I had a hard time with that. Then I really took in the atmosphere of the actual building I live in. When other people come in, I let myself reflect on the comments that I get around that. And I listen to the house creak. I listen to it breathe in the winter, especially, you know, as the heat comes on and off and the way the wood expands and contracts. Everything is alive. We make it alive. We can make it alive. And I thought about the house dreaming. To go back to what it came from, the forest, the mountain. It's interesting. There's a line here, have you beauty that leads the heart from things fashioned of wood and stone to the holy mountain? I add the source of all things, the holy mountain. I wonder at art. Is art not more beautiful because we know the raw materials? Tree to block to sculpture. Mountain, stone to slab to statue to lovely patio. The void from which inspiration comes to have an idea and have that idea pass through a person and these humble hands take the rawest materials from nature and create something that is not only divinely inspired from the vast realms, depths of consciousness and subconsciousness that we can't fathom. Used to be a tree. You know, how cool is that? I know, you know, I mean, I don't know, doing all the holiday craft stuff right now, going to the markets and things in the area. And it's like, wow, somebody's hands made that. That's pretty neat. Out of a chunk of wood. Y'all all know artists around here. Give them a hug. Tell them that they're a miracle. If you're an artist, you're a miracle. If you're a human being here, you're a freaking miracle. Know it. Believe it. Own it. Own your miracle nature, okay? Shower it all on the world. Because we need all of us doing our miracle work. We are a creation. Can you believe that? Whatever you believe spiritually about where we come from or where we go, if you just pause and just think, man, what? Where did all this come from? It's wild. You know? I'm grateful for that. Grateful for you. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Dream Queen, babbling on in Babylon. Don't be scared. Release control of everything and be grateful for it all. Check out the In the Cab Radio link tree. Send me a note. Let me know what's up. Let me know if you want to come on the show, chit-chat. I'm cool with that too. Thanks for tuning in. I love y'all. Keep an eye on the skies. If you see too many things, go in the house. Go in the house. Watch it through the window.